Love to have them, but boy, they are busy just constantly. You know, when it's just the two of you all the time, and then you have these little ones around, and just constant busy. And then they're gone, and the house is empty, and you know, echoes. So that's what I've got this morning, post PGSS. So, and some of you can relate to that. All right, just a couple of announcements. No Awana Club or Bible study this week in lieu of the Thanksgiving holiday. We'll resume on Wednesday, November the 30th. And we are concluding the book of Ezekiel and starting the book of Daniel on Wednesday night's Bible study. Board meeting on Thursday, December 22nd. And then our men's retreat, Pastor Neil Hughes will be here. For our men's retreat, he is the founder of an organization called A Man and a Mountain Ministry in Easterbrook, Wyoming. And so he will be our speaker for the annual men's retreat and will stay over for that following Sunday. And that will be Saturday, January 21st of next year. So please keep that in mind, if you would, please. All right, missionary spotlight is the Powells with Wycliffe Translators, so remember to pray for them, as well as others of our church family who are in nursing homes and ill and need our prayer at this time. All right. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Bruce Powell is celebrating his 60th birthday, and if you would like to send a card to him for that momentous occasion, if you see Jekka, she can give you their address, an email address. So that would be great. I used to think 60 was old, but it's not nearly as old as I used. So I figure the way I could feel younger is hang around people like Willis. So, but yeah, that's great. All right. I think it's any other announcements this morning? Okay, very good. All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer then. Father God, thank you for your goodness toward us. We're in the Thanksgiving season. And I wonder sometimes how thankful we would be if we did not have a holiday purposely set aside for that purpose. We read in your word, as we'll see a little bit later, you, in your divine wisdom, gave such a holiday, a celebration to the children of Israel, because they, like we, are prone to forget your blessings and your goodness. We tend to take them for granted. We are quick to complain when things don't go our way, but we're seldom as thankful as we ought be. And so it's good that we have a time set aside that makes us remember. And so we're grateful for that. We do have loved ones, Father. We ask that you be with them in their distress, in their time of need. Some are ill. Some, Father, are in a transition between this life and eternal life. I think of my wife's Uncle Charlie and her and his family there in Ohio, and her Aunt Betty in Tennessee. And we pray for them. Thank you that Marcia got to go visit them in this time of their life. And we ask that you might just be with them as they make this wondrous transition, and may their testimonies of their life continue. They've walked with you faithfully, and we know that you have been faithful to them, so we're grateful. There are others in our church family who need your hand upon them, the folks in the nursing homes, Father, we pray for them. You encourage them, that we will remember them with cards and letters and visits as well. We pray for our nation and the transition that is taking place between the administrations, and we pray for Father, our country, to become united once again. Difficult situation for the president-elect, and we pray that you would guide and direct our country, that our hearts as believers might continue to be turned toward thee, that we might not think that just because certain individuals are in places of political power, that all is well. We still have an enemy. The enemy is Satan. He still desires to destroy. He still desires to disrupt. And he still will attack the church and the Christian home. And so we do not need to relent. We need to be faithful to you. We need to live for you. We need to encourage others to do so. We need to pray for our leadership as we have in the past, and realizing that you are God and we need you more than we need man. That you you are the one that has the answers to the needs and the situations in our country, and it's simply because we need to turn back to you. Many people don't even understand that simplicity of that phrase. They fear you. They fear your guidance and your rule. Some even professing Christians are afraid of what you might do. How foolish, because you're a good God, a loving God, a God who cares for us, who pours out the blessings upon us, who loves us enough to chasten us and correct us when we are wrong. And therefore, Father, we come to you and trust you to do your work, first of all in our hearts, and then in our families, then in our country. For as goes the family, so goes the country. And so we pray, Father, for our nation, pray for our Christian homes. We pray, Father, that you would help us to have a spirit of thanksgiving throughout the year, not just on the holiday. And so, Father, with these things in mind, we continue before you this morning. Father, even in the midst of blessing, there's heartache. We pray for this family with the loss of their loved one. We ask that you would give them comfort, comfort that only you can give during a time like this. Surround them with your love through others who love you and love this family. We pray that you would just be very near to them. We rejoice in your goodness, Father. We sing to thee praises and worship to you. In Jesus' name. Would you stand together, please, and turn to number 563. 563. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, count your blessings. 563. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8.
Sorry about that, Bob. We got you confused last week, and we're still got you confused today. No. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. And the title of this passage in my Bible is The Command to Remember God's Past Dealings. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning with grateful hearts. The passage we read this morning talks about remembering. And, dear Lord, as we approach this Thanksgiving season, help it to be a time of remembering for each one of us. Help us to remember your faithfulness to us in the way that you've provided this last year, not only physically and materially, but, dear Lord, spiritually, and the lessons that you've taught us throughout this year. And, dear Lord, I just pray that we would also remember the great sacrifice that your Son paid for our sins on the cross by dying for each one of us. And, dear Lord, we thank you for that gift most of all. Dear Lord, we just thank you this morning that we can gather together as a congregation and that we can worship your name and that we can join our hearts in praising you. Dear Lord, I just pray that we might worship you with our tithes and offerings also, and just be with the gift and be with the giver this morning, that it might be used for your honor and glory and everything. We just give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is a song that Paul brought to the worship team this week, and Beth and I are going to sing it, and we'll be singing it later during the praise and worship time.
If you'll stand with us this morning as we continue to worship with songs and praise.
Blessings he's given us, the things
things he's given us instead of him himself. Let's thank Jesus this morning. Thank him. Forget that, what you've done for us, truly the life you've given us through Jesus Christ. Father, often we are thankful for all of the things, all the blessings you give us, but we forget about that wonderful and perfect gift of salvation. Father, Father, we know that in this world, in this country, Father, we know that there are many things that we've done that's grieved you, Father. And Father, we know that without our repentance, we can't come back to you. Father, we pray for that this morning, the repentance of this country. Starting with me, starting with ourselves, Father. Guide us through that, Father. We help us to come to that place, Father. We thank you for this day. We thank you for those men that followed you, that came before us in this country, that set up the way we live and through the guidance of your scripture, through the guidance of your holy law. And through that, Father, we've been given much. We've given plenty. You've allowed us much, Father, but Father, the thing we need now is to come back to you. Father, we pray for this. Pray for this country, Father. Bring us back to you. Father, we thank you for the one thing that we're often not, and that's faithful. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. We give you this day, Father, in Jesus' name.
Oh,
Thank you, Cindy.
Appreciate that.
And I enjoyed the worship team this morning. The song that they introduced. It's a special blessing. We don't always, in fact, we seldom, if ever, myself and the worship team try to coordinate anything. But this morning, the Lord seemed to have coordinated some things for us. Paul did not know that we were going to observe the Lord's Supper this morning, and I did not know the song that they had chosen concerning the Lord's Supper. So, but the Lord, knowing all things, brought all things together, and so that's wonderful. And praise the Lord for that as we focus on what He has done for us. Deuteronomy chapter 8, once again, verses 1 through 6, in our text there that was read for us. Moses here is admonishing the children of Israel to remember what God had done for them. And in remembering, he wanted them to understand that the difficulties they had encountered in that 40 years of wilderness wanderings really served to teach them some important lessons. Verses 10 through 14, he said, he reminds them, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command you this day. Lest when you have eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He's warning them here that in times of prosperity, there is the tendency to forget who made you prosperous, to forget the one who brought you through a time of difficulty, that you might remember the blessings that came from that difficulty. You know, see, we usually don't see things from God's perspective. It would seem to us that we would naturally give God praise for His blessings. After all, Romans chapter 2 tells us that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. So in our way of thinking, it would be just a natural outflow of to thank God for His blessings. And yet, it's most often that we learn to appreciate what God has done for us only after adversity. Only after a time of difficulty do we really thank God for what He has done for us. The first Thanksgiving, according to tradition, was the gathering of the pilgrims and the Indians together to celebrate an abundant harvest. But that abundant harvest came only after great adversity. That great number, the greater part of the pilgrims died that first winter in the New World. And had it not been for the compassion of the Native Americans who taught them how to cultivate their crops and who sustained and helped them during that first winter, very likely most, if not all, would have died. It was after that adversity that prosperity came. And then in gratitude, Governor William Bradford declared, first of all, a day of fasting and prayer, and then a day of celebration and thanksgiving for the abundant harvest. We would think that prosperity would be perpetual blessing, but often just the opposite is true. It seems that the more we are blessed, the less thankful we become. In our text here in Deuteronomy, God reminds us that He had tested them for 40 years to know what was in their hearts, whether they would obey Him or not. That He humbled them to hunger and then fed them with manna, that he might make them to know that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And he warned them that their prosperity may indeed lead to forgetfulness. See, moisture is most appreciated after a time of drought. Health is appreciated after a time of illness. Higher cattle prices are appreciated after a dip in the market. See? Unthankfulness comes from failing to appreciate what we have at that present time. We have a nation of ungrateful people. They feel entitled because they have been given much and it has cost them little, so they just want more. They don't like the way certain things turn out. They riot in the streets. Spoiled brats. Like many other religious holidays, Thanksgiving has been sacrificed on the altar of commercialism. We've replaced Jesus Christ with Santa Claus, and our society has made the annual celebration of Thanksgiving Turkey Day or Football Day or Parade Day. In the midst of it all, we have forgotten to give thanks. Look over in Exodus chapter 23 for a moment. We've been going through Exodus and we're coming near the 23rd chapter in our study. So this is just a little bit of a preview. But in Exodus chapter 23, notice beginning in verse 14, Exodus 23, verse 14, God says here, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee. That's the feast of the Passover. In the time appointed in the month of Abib, for it is then that thou camest forth from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. So three times of the year God ordered that there were to be feasts celebrated. The feast of ingathering was representative here of a beautiful picture of God's provision for his people. It dealt with their past, it dealt with their present, and it dealt with their future. Historically, this feast commemorated the 40 years of wandering, where the nation relied on the provision of God. And in remembrance, God commanded a memorial celebration to take place in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23 and verse 42. Leviticus 23, verse 42, he says, you shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. This feast of tabernacles, this dwelling in booths, God commanded them to have a memorial celebration to remember their past. Today, in the present, devout Jews continue to observe this feast. The Feast of Tabernacles, by building wooden shelters out on their lawns. They decorate it with the fruits of harvest, and they celebrate with thanksgiving God's blessings and his provision. God wanted them to remember some things. But he also speaks of the future remembrance. If you look over to the prophet Zechariah, the 14th chapter. Zechariah chapter 14. Now, that's kind of hard for you to find, I know. But if you go to Matthew and go back to Malachi and then go back again, there's Zechariah. Okay, he's one of the minor prophets. Minor not in that he was less important in his message, just a little bit shorter than the major prophets. Zechariah chapter 14, the last chapter of the book, verses 16 through 18, he says, "It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King and the Lord of hosts and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them there shall be no rain." So we see that in the future, there will be an international commemorative holiday to be observed during the millennial kingdom, with a penalty for those who fail to observe it. God wants us to remember His blessings. The giving of thanks to God for His provision then is entirely correct, entirely scriptural. In fact, one of the aspects of a spiritually and morally depraved society is a failure to be thankful. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 mentions that unthankfulness. It's like a disease. It spreads discontent and culminates in covetousness. Failure to be thankful indicates an attitude of self-reliance and self-sufficiency. We all need to learn to cultivate an appreciation for what God does for us and for what He has done for us, what He is doing for us, what He promises to do for us in the future. We need to be thankful. The expression of thanks to God is actually a form of worship. Worship can take many aspects. It can take the form of praise, but it can take the form of adoration. But worship is also expressed in thanksgiving. Jesus gives us some examples. If you look over in Matthew chapter 15, just prior to the miracle of the multiplying of the loaves and fishes, in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 36, notice here, Matthew 15, verse 36, He took the seven loaves and fishes and gave thanks. He broke them and gave to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Jesus gave an expression of worship in giving thanks for those loaves and fishes. He thanked the Father for the supply. In the hands of man, it was insufficient. But in the hands of God, it was completely sufficient. Jesus gave us an example of thankfulness and an act of worship. Then again, at the grave of Lazarus in John chapter 11, we find Him giving thanks. Giving thanks in the midst of a funeral. John chapter 11, verse 41. After He had commanded them to take away the stone, after there was the complaint of taking away the stone because He has been dead 4 days, Jesus said to her in verse 40, "Said I not unto thee that if thou would believe, you should see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me." Thanksgiving here in the form of prayer, thanking the Father for hearing His prayer. Before He even asked, He thanked God for what He was about to do. Jesus gave us examples then in Matthew there at the loaves of fishes, at the grave of Lazarus, and at the Passover. Look in Luke chapter 22. We're going to observe the Lord's Supper in just a moment. But here in Luke chapter 22, as Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, Luke 22, beginning in verse 17, the Scripture says He took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." Verse 19, "And He took bread and gave thanks and broke it. And gave unto them, saying, This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you." He gave thanks when He instituted the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul recounted this event over in the gospel, in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. He commemorated it when he mentioned it in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24. Paul writes, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." He gave thanks. The word thanks here in the Greek language is the word eucharistio. We get the word Eucharist from it. It simply means to give thanks. But it means a little more than that. It means to give thanks as an expression of gratefulness, expressed in gratitude as an act of worship. To give thanks as an act of worship. When's the last time you really stopped and realized that the heartfelt giving of thanks to God is an act of worship? We think of praise as an act of worship. We think of adoration as an act of worship. But thanksgiving is also an act of worship. The word worship itself has to do with an act or an attitude of attributing worth or worthiness towards someone or something. If it's towards something, we determine its worth by what we are willing to pay for it. How much money we are willing to give for a certain object. If you really want it, you are willing to give more for it. But you might have a limit. You might say, well, it's not worth that much to me. It might be worth that much to someone else. It might be worth more to even another person. But maybe it's not. You're not willing to part with your money for that object. It's not worth it. Or it may be worth it to you and you're willing to sacrifice, to give for it. We determine something's worth simply by the value that we place on it, what we are willing to pay for it. You know, the same is true when it comes to worshiping God. We acknowledge His worth by the value we place upon our time, upon our treasure, or upon our talent that we give towards Him. When we think on that as we worship with thanksgiving, it puts a new perspective on the Lord's Supper. We call it communion. Some call it the Eucharist, the giving of thanks. But what it really is an opportunity for us to remember what God has done for us through His love for us expressed on Calvary's cross. Do we really give thanks? I fear that sometimes the observance of the Lord's Supper becomes merely ritualistic. I attended a church for years ago that we observed the Lord's Supper every week. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says in the Scriptures, Jesus simply said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. He didn't say every week, didn't say once a quarter, didn't say once a month, didn't say annually, just as often as you do, when you do it, have the right heart's attitude, do it in remembrance of me. But there's something I noticed when the church that I attended, we observed it weekly, tagged on at the end of the service, at the end of the message. It lost its significance for some people. When the pastor asked for the elders to come forward, everybody started putting away their Bibles, getting their ladies, get their purses together, getting their clothes together, getting coats and wraps and everything. And we were getting ready to go home. That's what it was. The Lord's Supper signified the end of the service, time to go home. And it lost, for some, its significance. See, it ought never be that way. It ought not be so common that it loses its significance. Whenever you do it in remembrance of Him. We have celebrations for certain things. We celebrate our birthdays. We significantly acknowledge somebody's birthday. We celebrate Thanksgiving because we need to focus upon what we need to be thankful for, because we're not a thankful people sometimes. We grumble and we complain about what we don't have or what we didn't get instead of being thankful for what we did get. And in our text in Deuteronomy again, God says, I want you to remember. You went through some tough times so that you would remember the good times. You would remember my blessings. And when we have the proper perspective to remember the Lord's Supper, we remember what Christ did for us was for our benefit, not for His. See, He died for us. You say, well, I would never forget that. But we have a tendency to forget things that we don't remember on purpose. That's why He gave us the Lord's Supper, so that we would purposely remembering, and in remembering with the right heart's attitude, we would incorporate worship in it. A thankful heart for what He has done. So with that, I'd like our men, if you would come please. We want to observe the Lord's Supper together. If you're here and you're a visitor, very simple. If you know Christ as your Savior, if you're walking in fellowship with Him, we invite you to sit at the Lord's table with us. We're going to have a time of personal introspection. Paul writes to the Corinthian church and he says, let a man examine himself. I'm not standing in judgment of you. You stand before the Lord. You search your own heart, allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work. And then you respond accordingly as we observe the Lord's Supper. So for a moment, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, as we come before You to sit at Your table, to remember the sacrifice of Your Son on our behalf, to remember His shed blood, we do so as an act of worship. We will give thanks for that sacrifice, for He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We have also the promise of His coming again. For that we are also thankful. We anticipate it. We look forward to it. But before we remember, we must also ask, Holy Spirit, that You search our own hearts to see if we are in right standing before You. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian church, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So Father, we pause and ask that You would search our hearts individually, that we transact this time with You, asking You to bring to mind any sin that would separate us from You, anything that would harm our fellowship. If there's anything that we are holding against another person, that we may make that right, so that as we sit at Your table with pure hearts, we can celebrate with thanksgiving what You have done for us. Do Your work in our hearts, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name. Thank you. scripture reads, "When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" And our Father, as we come before you this day, remembering the sacrifice of our Savior, we thank thee, we worship, we give thanks and appreciation for the price that was paid when our Lord gave his body to be broken, to be bruised for our sakes. We remember his sacrifice and we thank thee in Christ's name. Scripture reads, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come.'" And so, Father, as we worship with thanksgiving, thank you for the work that Christ did on the cross. We remember his broken body. We remember his shed blood. We remember also the promise of his coming again, which promise we look forward to. And so while we thank thee for what you have done for our sakes, we thank thee for what you will do as well. And we pray, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. If you would please take your hymnal and turn to number 197. Stand with me, please. we'll be dismissed as we sing both verses of Lamb of Glory, 197. Thanksgiving feast in just a few moments. So let's go ahead and ask the blessing upon our dinner today while we're gathered here. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for, again, the sacrifice of Christ our Savior on the cross. For your great love for us and for his great love for us, purchased our redemption, paid the penalty for our sin. Those who believe on Christ as their Savior have eternal life. For that we are grateful. We're also grateful for this bounty that you've set before us today to remind us of your blessings throughout the year. You've been good to us. Your hand has been upon us for good. Each one has endured some times of difficulty, some adversity, some setbacks, some health issues, some financial troubles. But you've brought us through. You've shown yourself faithful. And for that we thank thee. Were it not for adversity, we would not appreciate your blessings. So we thank thee for the adversity as well. You teach us in your word, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Therefore we